Good afternoon, and thank you for attending the results conference of 2015 of Gamesa. We're going to have here the President of Gamesa, Ignacio Martín. We're also going to have the Business CEO, Mr. Xavier Echevarría, and the CFO, Mr. Ignacio Artaz Koz. I'm now going to give the floor to Ignacio Martín.
Thank you very much, Cristina, and good afternoon, everybody. We are going to deliver the presentation of the financial results of the past fiscal year that we have called exceeding our goals and bringing forward and enhancing our commitments. In order to establish the context of what it is we did last year, and in a way, these outcomes, I think, that prove all the things that have been done by Gamesa since the year 2012. Because in particular, we drew up a strategic plan. It was the 2013-15 strategic plan, which fundamentally had to do with survival, and it was also a strategic plan that wanted to get us ready for a future of growth. Secondly, last year, we presented the 2015-17 strategic plan, which is a plan that fundamentally has to do with growth and which I think demonstrated the many efforts made by Gamesa in the years 2013-15. Tonight, we're going to look into the results of the year, which, as I say, they confirm all of the actions that we have carried out at our company. This also allows us to feel very optimistic about the future, because as we are about to see, the prospects we have are very, very important from the point of view of the generation of business and the generation of results. This will allow us to improve the commitments we took on board in June of last year when we presented our plan 2015-16-17. In particular, I would like to underscore from the very beginning that Gamesa is a global company, and it's a global company that has a decentralized management system, although it has a center, in other words, headquarters, where people have a very clear strategy in their minds. It's a very lean center, and it's a center which, from the cost perspective, is, as I said before, it's a very lean center. Fundamentally, what it does is dictate the strategy, and what it also does is control the execution process and also make sure that each one of the regions in which we are currently operating uses the necessary synergies within a global group like ours. This is the basis for the actions and the achievements we have made at this company. In any case, if we move on now to the period highlights, it's very important to point out that from the point of view of commercial activity and as regards the intake of orders, it's been a very positive year. This allows us to announce here that the volumes that have been established in the 2015-17 plan, well, we know that we're going to be in the upper levels of the guidance in 2016, as we're going to see now. In particular, the arrival of orders last year, it was an order intake, a very important order intake with nearly 3,900 MW that were signed throughout the period, which represents an increase of 17% relative to the same period of the previous year. We also have to underscore the intake of orders in excess of 1 GW, which is what we had in the last quarter of the year. As regards to the order book with which we finished the year 2015, it's been a very important order book with nearly 3,200 MW, which represents an increase of 28% relative to the order book we had at the end of 2014. Obviously, these megawatts do not only allow us to meet the demand of 2016, but we also have megawatts for later years. These megawatts do give us a very reasonable degree of visibility, and this is going to allow us to provide the guidance that I'll be talking about at the end of this presentation. It's equally important to stress that as regards installed capacity throughout the year 2015, Gamesa has become the fourth most important manufacturer of the world, onshore manufacturer, in the global context. And in a way, it's also important to stress that in this ranking of manufacturing companies, Gamesa has been the manufacturer that has improved most relative to the previous year. And since the beginning, since 2012, we said that Gamesa was not going to sacrifice volume for profitability. And what we did in 2015 was grow in a significant manner. We grew 23% if we compare the revenues of 2014 and 2015 up to 3,500 million or 3.5 billion. And this growth, as I said before, has produced a level of profitability in excess of what we had expected because we obtained an EBIT margin of 8.4% relative to sales. In other words, we have a figure now of 294 million, removing non-recurrent or underlying effects that arise from the creation of the Adwen offshore subsidiary that would have had a positive effect on the EBIT that we've not taken into account in these 294 million. As I say, this is an underlying effect, so it's an underlying element. And then the EBIT margin we had for Q4 was 9%. Net profits have grown year on year and now stand at 175 million euros, which means that it's been a 73% increase. This has been followed by something that has been a concern since the very beginning of this new era in Gamesa. In other words, a very significant cash flow. The free net cash flow we've had throughout the year has totaled 182 million. And this has been possible because there's been, we are all of the members of the workforce, of the Gamesa workforce, have been very aware of how important it is to make proper use of the capital we have, fixed capital or working capital. So this means that the net cash we had on the balance sheet at December the 31st was in excess of 700 million euros. But what does this mean at the end of the day? Well, it means that the commitment towards our shareholder, which we measure on the return on the capital that has been used on the ROCE, has been much greater than what we had initially established, and we have managed to multiply by two the cost of the capital used, in other words, WACC, and we've finished with a value of 17%. And now I would like to give the floor to Xavier Etxeberria so that he can elaborate on these points. Hello, good evening, everybody. And as Ignacio has just pointed out, the year 2015 was characterized by a strong level of commercial activity that has been in line with the upper limit of the range committed according to the business plan 15-17. And the intake of orders we've had in the year 2015 reaches 3.9 gigawatts, which represents an increase of 17% year on year. And then we also have the visibility that our current portfolio has, which has grown because we ended 2015 with 3.2 gigawatts of visibility, in other words, as regards to the order portfolio, which means that it's been an increase of 28% year on year. But I would like to say that the ratio between order intake and sales reaches 1.22, and we also have another relevant thing, and that is that the coverage, in other words, the total of orders received as of December 2015 to be sold or to be activated in 2016 has reached a figure of 71%. Or in other words, there's been an increase of 7 percentage points in terms of the coverage of 2015 that we closed in December of 2014. So this strong commercial activity is linked to a very significant degree of geographical diversification because Gamesa is a genuinely global company, as you can see, with our presence in 54 countries, and we are now operating in places like Kuwait and Thailand. In 2015, that happened. Our commercial, strategic, and geographic position is demonstrated to the degree that we occupy a leadership position in emerging markets, and we are also growing in developed markets. For instance, the intake of orders in countries or in places like Europe and the United States are multiplied by 1.5 times the order intake of the orders that we had in those very countries in 2014. And this, together with the fact that our customers have been very happy with our product portfolio that has been supplemented by the G114 2.5 megawatts. So, in other words, this unit of 2 megawatts and the 2.5 megawatt unit with the same unit, same motor, account for 50% of the order intake in 2015. Relative to 26%, which is the figure we had for 2014. So let's say that in terms of percentages, we multiplied by two the order intake levels or the percentage of orders that the new platforms have in the market. But what has to be underscored, and this is the chart that I think explains the previous comments that were made by Ignacio Gamesa, this strong commercial activity can be seen in the market. And as regards the capacity commissioned in 2015, Gamesa is amongst the four leading international manufacturers, and it's also the one that has improved its ranking much more relative to 2014. And in 2014, Gamesa was in position number 8 as regards market share or installed capacity, and now with 5% of installed capacity internationally, we now occupy position number 4 on the ranking. And this is something that we would like to stress because there's a very big effort behind these achievements. So this strong geographic diversification and strong commercial activity means that we've had a very significant sales consolidation. They've grown 23% year on year and 17% at constant exchange rates. And this strong growth is based on the growth of turbine sales, one in particular, and also in megawatt equivalents because of an increase in activity of 21% year on year. And the WTG revenues in 2014 were somewhat in excess of 3 billion euros, or in other words, it was an improvement of 26% year on year. And then we have the operations and maintenance revenues that went up 8% year on year, and now the current figure is 471 million euros. So all of these commercial efforts and this increase in revenues and this increase in market share, this is something that can be fundamentally seen. Well, let's say that this is a constant, although the control of the structure is an element that means that what we have to do is focus on operational profitability thresholds, because Gamesa has reduced its structural expenses by 1.6 points and now stands at 7.8% of structural revenues and relative to sales in 2015. So this figure of 7.8% means that there's been an improvement of 1.6 percentage points relative to the figures achieved in the year 2014. But what I would like to underscore is that since 2012, the structural expenses relative to sales have improved year on year between 1 and 2% in a continuous manner. And it was 12.4% in 2012, and it's now 7.8% in 2015. And the continuous improvement of profitability happened in 2015 because we achieved a significant degree of profitability improvement in EBIT. In 2015, the figure was 294 million euros, which means that that was a 54% improvement relative to what was achieved the previous year. And these 294 million euros of EBIT account for 8.4% relative to revenues, or in other words, there was an improvement of 1.7 percentage points relative to the figures achieved in 2014. And I would like to underscore the significant EBIT that was achieved in Q4 of 2015, where with 87 million in EBIT in the results, we achieved 9% of EBIT in that particular quarter. Our leverage to achieve this strong increase in profitability, or as usually, we have rising sales because we are growing and in a profitable manner because we have a strict control. We have a constant, we have a strict control of structural expenses and an ongoing optimization of variable expenses and a declining net positive currency effect, as you can see here, 0.6 percentage points in the year 2015. But I would also like to underscore within the 2015 activities the strong cash flow that the companies had with 182 million euros. We've been working very hard on converting the net profit into cash. But if we were to break down how we've obtained this figure, we have the gross operating cash flow has reached the figure of 300 million euros, which means that we have an improvement of 100 million compared to what we achieved in 2014, which was 200 million. We still maintain a very strict control of the working capital, but with an increase of activity in 2015 of 21%, we have managed to improve our working capital by 60 million euros. And now we have the ratio standing at 0.3%, or in other words, it's been an improvement of 2.2 percentage points relative to the figures that were reached 1 year ago. And to this, we have to add our investments, always modular, always geared towards growth and demand, which with a figure of 168 million euros, or in other words, this would be 4.8% relative to sales. And then this sum has been spent on R&D, in other words, on technology. That is between 1.3% and 1.5% relative to revenues, and the rest has been industrial CapEx that has been geared towards increasing our capacity in rotors and new products, and so that we could also increase our capabilities in all regions, and we've also invested in logistics and tooling to achieve sales growth, as you've seen before. And this increase of the operating CapEx, in other words, a strict control of working capital and a modular CapEx, have produced a generation of 182 million euros in net free cash flow before paying out the dividend. And not only that, but this cash flow generation means that the net cash flow on the balance sheet in December was 301 million, with an increase relative to the figure we had in the year 2014. So in other words, what we can say is that we multiplied this by more than two. We multiplied this by more than two in December 2015 compared to December of the year 2014. But in any case, we still are fully committed to the issue of workplace health and safety for all of our employees. Our frequency and severity indices are still improving, and these are ratios that are considered to be outstanding in the market because we have achieved an index of frequency of 1.8 and a severity index of 0.02. And I would like to thank all of the Gamesa workers for the absolute commitment in helping the managers and the executive of this company to achieve these indices of frequency and severity. And I think that it's our workers that have made it possible to achieve these goals, and this is what you've just seen on the charts. But as a conclusion of what I've said, Gamesa has fulfilled all of its goals. And in 2015, our volume reached 3,180 megawatts. Our revenues, €3,500 million, at 23% higher compared to the previous year. And then our EBIT margin stands at a figure of €290 million, in other words, 8.4% relative to sales revenues, which means that it is 54% of the EBIT of €290 million, which is higher than the figure that we reached 1 year ago. And we are still emphasizing, we're still focusing on the control of capital consumption and investments because our working capital relative to revenues now stands at 0.3%. In other words, there's been an improvement of 2.5% relative to what was achieved in 2014. And our CapEx relative to revenues geared towards technology and towards capacity growth now stands at 4.8% relative to revenues, and the ROE CE or ROCE now stands at 17% and greatly exceeds the guidelines of the market, which was WACC plus 4%. So we are still creating value for the shareholder. And as a conclusion to this sheet, once again, I would like to underscore the 182 millions of generation of net cash flow and the position on the balance sheet of 301 million euros, and always maintaining the long-term indebtedness limit with financial debt of less than 1.5 times. And I would like to repeat to conclude, well, this is my section, we have always managed to create greater value for the shareholder. And in particular, the ROCE for 2015 multiplies by two, the WACC, or in other words, what is the same thing for a WACC of 8.5%. We reached a ROCE of 17%. In other words, we multiplied this percentage by two, and we exceeded by 4.6 percentage points the guidelines that were given to the market, which were 12.5%. And the pillars for the creation of value have not changed. We are still true to the way we manage this company, with a profitable growth through a competitive positioning and through a control of structures and through a continuous improvement of our variable costs, and also focusing on generating cash flow by controlling investments and always focused on ensuring profitable growth. But now I would like to give the floor to my colleague Ignacio Arbazcoz. Thank you very much, Javier, and good evening. I'm sorry the microphone was not connected. Let's now talk about the main magnitudes of the Gamesa Group in the 2015 fiscal year. And as usual, or as we have been doing in 2015, we have separated the profit and loss account into two chapters. We have underlying P&L pre-Adwin, and then we have the reported P&L. But as regards the pre-Adwin underlying P&L, our revenues have reached 3,504 million euros, which means that there's been a growth of 23% compared to the previous year, and which was a figure of 2,846 million. And our activity has reached the figure 3,180 megawatts, which is 21% more in terms of growth relative to the previous year, 2,623. And then our operations and maintenance revenues now have reached the figure of 471 million, which is 8% increase relative to the previous year. And the underlying EBIT, this has been mentioned before, it's 294 million euros, which is a growth of 54%, and an underlying EBIT margin of 8.4%. And last year, the figure was 6.7%. So in other words, this has gone up by 1.7 percentage points. And then with a underlying net profit of 175 million euros, which means that we've grown 73% relative to the previous year. As regards the reported figures, the accounting figures that I will be talking about in much greater depth, I would just like to underscore that the EBIT has gone up by 29 million euros, and this has been brought about by the creation of the Adwin joint venture, and because the net profits have totaled 170 million euros, which is 5 million euros less than what we reported as an underlying factor. And all of this has to do with the creation and consolidation of the Adwin joint venture. As regards the working capital, 12 million euros, which is how we've ended, which means 0.03% relative to the figures for the previous year, 0.3%, and the debt financial debt at the end of the year of 301 million euros, with an improvement of 112%. This is more than two times more than the figure that we had for the previous year. But let's move on now. Let's move on now to the activities of the different segments in which Gamesa is operating. As regards the activities of the wind turbine generators, we can see that we have a consolidated growth in our activity as a result of our competitive positioning, because we've had nine consecutive quarters of double-digit growth. And we now have a figure of 3,180 megawatts, which is 21% more. And our quarterly activities have been 880 880 megawatt equivalents, which means that's 11% more compared to Q4 of the year 2014. And we are also going to look into the ASP, in other words, the average sales price of the year 2015, which, including the exchange rate effect, has gone up by 3.7% relative to last year, which is in line with the expectations we had established at the beginning of the fiscal year, because here we have a positive currency effect of 4.4%, comparing one year with the other. But we also see other positive effects that have to do with the arrival of new products, for instance, G114, 2 megawatts with taller towers and a greater contract scope. Now, there are different effects that make our average sales price go up, and we also have some negative effects in the case of the year's ASP, like the geographic mix, because we have sold much more in China and India. As you know, in China, we sell without a tower, so that means that the average price in China is significantly lower compared to the rest of the geographies. And in India, we've also grown, and as we have explained on several occasions, India also has a slightly lower sales price compared to other geographies. But in any case, it's important to underscore that the evolution of ASP, this is not indicative of the level or trends in terms of profitability at Gamesa, but this is a parameter that we explained some time ago, but we always need to underscore that it's not indicative of the level of profitability. But if we now move on to the what has to do with geographic diversification, well, as you know, diversification is one of the key elements in terms of sustainability of revenues and sustainability of the group profitability in the long term. And from a geographic perspective, the regions where we've had the greatest level of activity have been India and Latin America. And then, at a reasonable distance, we have Europe and the rest of the world as an important region, then China and the United States. But from the point of view of customers, we are also very diversified. And we should stress here that we have no customers accounting for more than 10% of our revenues figure. And we also have customer typology that is very diverse, where IPPs is the main block with electrical utilities that grew a lot last year. And also this year, it went up quite a lot. So that means that we now have a pie chart that is very diversified, where you can see our customers.
With regard to profitability in wind turbines, we've had an EBIT margin, which has gone from 5.6 to 7.6%. So it's an improvement of 2 percentage points. And all of this is based on our contention of fixed costs, which Ignacio explained before, as did Xavier as well. We have a very adjusted, a very lean program, which enables us to maintain very good levels in the case of a drop in demand. And we have a continuous improvement, which is of all our different areas, which we have a continuous improvement programs, which enable us to have long-term sustainability programs, because we are always suffering time and time again. There are problems with costs due to growth and the new product launches, and we have to compensate, we have to offset that through improvement, continuous improvement programs and cost improvement programs, and all of these programs are integrated into our management system. With regard to our wind turbine segment, we have increased by 8%, and with EBIT, we have increased by 14%, completely in line with the guidance we gave in January and the business plan that we established in June last year. With regard to the order book, we got the figure of 2 billion euros, and we've actually increased this target, and we have an average duration of contracts, which is 6 years. During the year 2015, we have reached an agreement to acquire a 50% stake in the company NEM within the strategy of optimizing O&M costs, and this was reflected in the business plan. We also aim to develop predictive maintenance services. Thus, we are able to optimize the management also of big data. With regard to the consolidated group, our EBIT margin in 2014 was 6.7%, and in 2015 it's gone up to 8.4%. The main levers for improving this margin are as follows. We have a positive impact of growth in volume, as you can see in the graph. We have the optimization of variable expenses, which is, as we said before, this has been a fundamental tool, and also the exchange rate, because we've had an average exchange rate which has been better this year. So in fact, this has been a 60% increase in this sense. And we've had some negative effects. One of the negative effects, this is a mathematical effect, as we explained before, which has to do with the sales mix. We have a lower O&M contribution in comparison with wind turbines, and obviously that means that they don't have such a high margin, which brings the general margin down. And there's been some other negative effects with regard to CM, and this is the industrialization of new platforms, new models, and new factories in Brazil and in India, for example. And in this year, in fact, we believe that our portfolio of wind farms will go down by about 10 million euros. That's our forecast. It's very important to highlight the work that we have done over the last financial year to improve our working capital. Working capital was again a fundamental factor in 2015 for the improvement of cash flow during the financial year. From the point of view of average working capital, in 2014 it was 13%. This has gone back to down to 7% in 2015, so this is an improvement. And this frees up about 100 million euros throughout the course of the year. At the end of the year, we also had a working capital figure of 12 million euros, which increase is a better, is improvement over last year's 60 million euro improvement in comparison with last year. And in fact, the measures taken to improve our working capital have been the traditional ones, the ones that we've been doing over the recent years, and they have to do with a very close management of everything that has to do with working capital from the point of view of aligning manufacturing with deliveries and receipts, actively managing accounts payable and receivable, especially receivable. We've had a lot of problems with financing this year, especially in Brazil, where it's absolutely vital and critical to have a very good and very local management of working capital so that we can overcome any incident in order to make sure that no incidents occur, and if they do occur, we can react to them. And this has been, as I said, vital, especially in that country. And then there's been a very strict control over investment in wind farms and promotion. This is what we've done over the course of the last year. So as a result of all of this, our balance sheet at the end of 2015 was very sound. We have net cash of 301 million euros, which are better than the results of the last 3 years, as you can see in the graph. All of this with an activity which has increased by 21%. We've actually paid 23 million euros in dividends, so there's been a very good payout this year. And all of this improvement in the balance sheet has increased our NFD EBITDA ratio and has enabled us to invest as well, just what we needed in order to continue with the growth that we are aiming at. With regard to the consolidated group, it's important to highlight our situation or the situation of the different funding costs and the funding channels that we have. During 2015, we've continued working to maintain our financial flexibility, which enables us, on the one hand, to cope with the ups and downs of in demand that we have. So we have peaks of working capital that we have to be able to cope with, and we have to be able to finance during different specific months of the year. So it's important to have available funding channels in order to be able to cope with these peaks. But on the other hand, We also have the need to demonstrate to our customers the fact that we have a sound financial base of our company in order to be able to embark on a number of different projects, technology projects. But also, customers also expect from us that we should be prepared financially as well as technologically. And this financial flexibility shows that we are able to do this. We have extended maturities. And now the main maturities we have, it goes up to 2021 from 2019. And then finally, a very brief overview of the impact of Adwin over the last year. As you know, from the point of view of results, there are two main impacts. One would be the creation of the joint venture with Adwin during the first quarter, which generated a gross capital gain in EBIT of 29 million euros. We had also an income tax of 8.2 million with a net profit of 5 million. And again, over 2015, we've had the results of this joint venture, which has given us negative result of 26 million euros, which have been accounted for using the equity method. So we have the operational improvements. This is what our activities in Adwin have focused on, operational improvements with the installation of the GT1 and BW2 projects. We've also very active with the execution and commissioning of the Wikinger project with 350 megawatts in Germany for Iberdrola. And we have started up with blade production in our plant in Bremerhaven. We're also very active in developing our 8-megawatt machine. We hope that we will have the internal design certification up to 2017. And we're also very active with regard to our commercial development, the commercial development of Adwin in the different markets in the world in which we are present. And with that, I will pass the floor back to Xavier. Thank you very much. Now we're going to be starting the outlook section. So we're going to tell you how we view growth in installations between 2016 and 2017. We believe that this growth will continue to be concentrated in emerging markets where Gamesa has a very solid position. Installations in 2015 have had a peak. They got up to 63 gigas. Generally driven by prospects of regulatory changes in very important markets, including China and the US, and a record volume of offshore installations in Germany. We believe that in the years 2016-2017, these installations will become, there'll be a normalization of demand in these three markets, which to a certain extent explains the reduction in demand, which is estimated for 2016-2017, these two coming years. However, if we exclude the Chinese, the North American and German markets, where we've seen that the peak installations correspond to factors that are really outside the market trend per se, we have an expected growth rate in annual installations between now and 2017 of 12%. This is the period 2015-2017. We believe that these installations will increase greatly in Asia Pacific, 18% in India, in Latin America in 7%, and Mexico is important here to note because we believe there'll be an increase of 31%, and in fact, Gamesa is market leader in Mexico. There will also be a growth in Africa and the Middle East of 65%. If we have a look at the industry, we can see that there's going to be an improved regulatory visibility and rising renewable commitments. This will be supporting a stable long-term demand growth. We believe that the fundamental elements of the factors which have occurred over the last few months will help us, the sector, to have a greater degree of visibility. We believe that the commitments that we have signed, that the majority of countries have signed to reduce greenhouse gases, will also have a major impact on us. In fact, 100 countries now target a higher contribution by renewables. 70 specifically mentioned wind power. And we're talking about important countries such as China and India, Morocco and Turkey, among others. Those were the first ones to set very specific targets for wind power generation for the coming years. Moreover, we believe that this will be reflected in an increase in demand, which will go from 46 gigawatts mean demand per year up to 59 gigawatts as an average installation up until 2020, and then later on it will go up even more to 66 gigawatts between the year 2021 and 2024 approximately. I'd also like to highlight that the renovation of 5 years, the PTC extension of 5 years, increases the visibility of this market, which is a very important market, especially in the US. It's clear that the renovation of PTCs increase visibility, even though there is a gradual trailing off of 20% annually over the last 4 years. So this will, the effect of this will be that the installations in the US might get up to peaks of up to 10.5 gigawatts in 2018, and then this, in fact, the PTC extension might slow up the market. But of course, this is something that we will have to keep an eye on, have to see how it evolves over the next few months and the next few years. Gamesa ended 2015 fully aligned with its priorities, the priorities established in the business plan for 2016-2017, after having exceeded and surpassed all the goals established for 2015. Gamesa priorities for 2015-2017 haven't changed. Our pillars continue to be the same, and we believe that we have the right strategy for executing this business plan that we hope will be successful. We continue to seize the growth opportunities in emerging and mature markets. And in the year 2015, the first year of the business plan, our revenues increased by 23% year on year, and our order book increased by 28%. We also control, and we continue to control, structural expenses, and we continue to improve variable costs continually. Our fixed expenses in 2015 were under 88% of revenues, and that was the target for the entire period 2015-2016. And it's important to highlight the fact that the target for the business plan has already been met. We maintain a sound balance sheet. The first year of the business plan, 2015, we have a €301 million net cash on the balance sheet, with a generation of cash flow of €122 million before the payout of dividends. We're working to boost the competitiveness of our products and our service pipelines, improving our position in mature markets. We have a very important success story with our 2.0 platform. We, in the year 2015, we've had our first sales with the 2.6 platform, and the projects will be executed over the course of 2016-2017. And in fact, during this year, from the point of view of technology, we have in phase of certification the 2.6 platform and our 3.3 and 3.4 platform with our 32 rotor. So we have a whole portfolio of products which are going to be the best products on the market. But we don't forget that there is life beyond 2017. We are preparing Gamesa for beyond that deadline so that we can continue to create value and seize the opportunities in our offshore market and also the opportunities in India for the solar power market. We have our first launches of prototypes for the market there and for the off-grid products. Thank you very much, Xavier. So, with everything that we have heard, what we can say is that I think that we can, in fact, step up commitments. And in fact, we think we'll be able to achieve these commitments in 2016. We had launched some guidances from between 3.8 megawatts, but we believe this, we're going to achieve that and, in fact, surpass that. This is due to the fact that the portfolio or the order book that we had at the end of last year, about 3.2 gigawatts, enable us to feel quite confident that we're going to be able to achieve this goal this year. Secondly, from the point of view of underlying EBIT, taking into account this whole same period of consolidation and what's happened between January and February this year, 2016, the forecast, an EBIT of more than 400 million. The objective that we had set ourselves, which would be to double it in comparison with 2014, we believe that the guidance we're setting today is that we're going to do that and we're going to achieve that goal and exceed it. We believe we're going to have even more profitable growth in the future to enable us to achieve our goals and exceed them. This means that our EBIT margin will be equal to or over 9%. All of this is based on working capital over revenues, which is equal to or less than 2.5%, which will enable us to keep our working capital under control in operating assets with a capex over revenue that we will have and will be between 4% and 5%, depending on the possibilities for growth that we identify. With regard to ROCE, we will say that it will continue to rise, we will continue to create value. And the dividend proposal, the payout ratio, will be equal or more than 25%. As we said, more or less, as we said last year, it will depend on our possibilities for profitable investment and the opportunities to create value that we identify within the company. These are the estimates for 2016, or our commitments for 2016. It's not going to be an isolated case or a special year. We believe that the evolution of the market and the internal performance of our company enable us to achieve this. And there's nothing that indicates that we will not be able to continue in this same trend in the foreseeable future beyond 2016. So, conclusions. Well, I think it's important to highlight here that Gamesa is an industrial group, it's a technology group, which is very focused on wind technology, which is something that we told you in June last year when we explained our 2015-2017 business plan. For us, this is extremely important. The fact that we're an industrial group means that we are a company focused not just on short-term maximization of profits. We're not just trying to maximize our targets for this year. We want the optimization of our guidance for the long-term future. This means that we continue to be a company which grows, but on the basis of good criteria. It's a company that is important, that is able to do a capex per dollar, which will enable us to growth, but with good investments, with the ratios that we have explained before, with 0.5% over sales for every megawatt that we grow. And we believe that that is a fairly global figure. And this enables us, in the case that there is a deterioration of the market for whatever reason, we will be able to continue to manage our company in a very focused manner. As we've seen in the presentation, fixed costs have increased a lot over the last 3 years, and this is going to continue in the future because we are a company that needs to really seize growth opportunities. But if there is a crisis, if a crisis were to come, if a serious problem in the market were to arise, then Gamesa is well prepared to be able to withstand it. We are an industrial company, which means that we manage our costs. We've talked about fixed costs, but we also talk about variable costs. This means that all the product launches that we undertake, all our new products, we always do this thinking about continuous improvement to make sure that our company, every member of our company, needs to continuously improve. And if we're doing anything, I believe that we're turning volume into profit, into results. It's difficult to grow as an industrial company in about 50%, which is what we're doing, improving our standards at the same time. But we're doing it. We're doing it in our company, in Gamesa, and we believe that that is a very important thing to bear in mind, and it's the main value that we offer with regard to company management. All of this is encompassed in a very clear industrial strategy, a strategy that we set in 2012. And we are applying it now, and we're saying that we have a strategy with designs that are in-house designs but can be manufactured by outsourced companies. We have our ideas very clear in our mind with regard to the optimization of our results, management of costs, and we believe that this is vital in our company. And we're a technology group as well. Xavier has just explained to us that the portfolio of products that we are preparing at the moment with the new rotors, with the new size of the machines, is a product portfolio which is able to compete all over the world, and it competes extremely well, especially bearing in mind that the parameter that we use, which is the generation of power divided by the total weight of the machine, is something that we keep a very, very close eye on, because it enables us to reduce continually the cost of energy, which, again, is what enables us to continue growing in our markets. So we've just seen in the presentation that we've been able to increase or, in fact, double our ROSI. We've had a very good profitable growth with 23% more revenues. We've got a much better cash flow. And this has been extremely positive, our results in this sense. And this is what we are actually reporting this year. We have a very sound balance sheet, a healthy balance sheet, just over 300 million euros in net cash. And in fact, we have a commercial activity which has enabled us to set some guidances for this year, which are over and above what we had expected just a few months ago, which means that we can say that we're going to actually get over 3.8 gigawatts. And I think it gives us enables us to be quite optimistic about the future. This is not a special year. This is just another year. We don't see any reason why the year 2017 shouldn't be just as good as year with the same level of growth as 2016. And all of this in circumstances, in an environment with regard to the regulatory changes that are happening with the COP21, et cetera. A very difficult situation. But despite this difficult situation for our industry, we're doing very well. We have reasonable doubts, reasonable problems, but the market is still there. We're doing very well. And so the business plan for 2015-2017, we can say that in this year, 2016, we are actually going to meet practically all our targets for the two-year period. This is our presentation. And now I believe that, Christina, if I'm not wrong, we're going to pass over to the question and answer session. Yes, we're now going to read the questions that have been arriving, that have been sent to us through the webcast and our mailbox. Ignacio, I don't know if you'd like to start or say anything. Yes, before I start, I would like to say that we're now going to answer any question that has to do with our negotiations with Siemens or the consolidation of the sector for obvious reasons. We're not going to answer any of these questions, and I hope you understand. Since 2012, Gamesa has said on repeated occasions that we are constantly monitoring the industry to try to detect opportunities for added value and to consolidate our activities. We want to play an active role to the extent of whenever we see that this is possible, and nothing has changed. This is just something that I would like to say before we start with the questions. I would also like to say that when I say add value, we're always thinking about the generation of value for all our interested parties, all our interested stakeholders, and especially for our shareholders. Anything that we can do in the future, or anything we will do in the future, will always be oriented to that particular goal.
Well, thank you very much, Ignacio. But before moving on to the Q&A session, I would like to clarify that there's a transparency in the presentation where we mention the growth we've had in terms of our market share. And it has to be clarified that that slide refers to the onshore market only, and it doesn't include any installations of the offshore business, which is not mentioned in the title. So we're very sorry, and we apologize for that. But let's move on to the questions now. Let's start off with a question that has been sent to us by Alok Gadre from Société Générale, which has to do with the coverage for 2016, which is 71%. So which are the regions that still require orders? Well, to answer this question, and as you already saw in our presentation, we have a coverage of 71% at this point in time. And there's no region that needs any special commercial activity, because its current level of coverage is a differential relative to the rest of the regions. But what I mean to say is that this 71% of coverage at a global level is pretty well balanced out in all the regions. And this means that all of the regions have a figure of something like 29% or 30% to achieve the objective. So there's no region that really requires a greater order intake than others. Thank you, Sabir. We have a second question that is also related to the order book. This is from José Manuel Arroyas from Exxon, and he's asking which geography is going to provide growth for the order book in 2016, 2017, and do you think there's going to be any growth in the United States in 16 and 17? Well, the order intake, or as regards the order book itself, which means growth relative to previous years, this is fundamentally based on wherever Gamesa has a leadership position in places like India, Latin America, excluding Brazil, and the north of Africa. These are regions that provide most of the growth for Gamesa in 2016 and 17. But that doesn't mean, because the growth is more moderate, we don't expect. We are working right now to achieve more growth in sales in the United States and Europe with the introduction and launching of new machines that we know that from a technological perspective and from the point of view of energy costs are going to be extremely competitive. And in particular, and as regards to the United States, we, in the year 2016, compared to 2015, we have growth rates that are not related to the extension of the new PTC, which, as you know, is going to have a much more significant impact in terms of volume growth in the years 17 and 18. But at this point in time, we are working so that the growth of the United States market in 17 and 18 will also produce growth in terms of megawatts and sales for Gamesa in that particular region. Thank you very much, Xavier. Let's move on now to another question. This is for Mr. Ignacio Artazcoz. And this has to do with what you said about the provisions for the fourth quarter. This comes from Alok Gatre from Societe Generale. What is this due to? Is this due to SunEdison? Well, yes, the provisions for Q4, for this particular Q4, are not related to SunEdison, because we had nothing activated in terms of our agreement of intentions to develop these 2,000 megawatts with SunEdison. There was nothing there, and that agreement is still in force, and over the next months, we'll see if we are able to implement this, or we'll see if we are equally able to develop things through this agreement. But the reason for these provisions is that there were certain wind farms that were old, time was going by, and we had not carried out their execution in full, and therefore, due to an accounting policy,
which is completely normal. We've decided to establish a provision for these promotions. Thank you very much, Nacho. There's a question here from Pinakidas from the Bank of America for Ignacio Martín. Do you think that Gamesa will be able to do things better in 17 and 18 vis-a-vis the guidance that has been given for 2016? Well, yes, we'll release the guidance for the future for 2017 and for 2018 too. But what I did say in the presentation is that the guidance that we've given for 2016, this is guidance that does not really represent a peak in terms of the company's performance. And there's no reason either that says that we cannot continue with a profitable growth in the future. So I believe that this answers your question up to a certain extent. Thank you very much, Ignacio. Here's another question now for Xavier Echeverria, and this also comes from Pinaki from the Bank of America Merrill Lynch. And it's clear that the guidance of 2016 is in excess of the market consensus and is even in excess of our forecast for 2017. So what does Gamesa think about the orders and the level of commercial activity in 2016, bearing in mind the markets in which we operate and bearing in mind that the wind market has slowed down, globally speaking? The commercial activities of 2016, as we pointed out before, is fully insured with coverage of nearly 71% by the end of the year for a target of 3,800 megawatts, as we already saw in the presentation. But our current commercial activity, what it indicates very clearly is that we'll be able to close these orders over the next few months so that we'll be able to obtain this level of activity of 3,800 megawatts. But at this point in time, and with certain exceptions, of course, in some of the regions, we don't really think that we're dealing with a slowing down of the market for the years 2017 and 2018. 2016 does present a significant decrease relative to 2015, because we've spoken about the installation peaks in 2015 because of regulatory issues in the United States as well as China, and also because it was a record-breaking year in terms of offshore facilities. But in any case, our current commercial activity does not think that 2017 is going to be worse in the market. And we know, or at least we expect, that it's not going to be worse as regards the activities and the contracts that we gain this year for the year 2017. Thank you very much, Xavier. There's another question here for Ignacio Artazcoz from Juan Carlos de Fidentis. And what's going to happen with the tax rate? And what about a possible tax reduction in Q4? Well, nothing special is happening there. But let's say that this is very in line with the trends of the year. But if you remember, on the one hand, let's say that we have 8 million euros, which are fixed costs, which we've been dragging from one quarter to another, which have to do with the creation of Adwen, the joint venture, which has to do with the capital gains. And this is an underlying effect that has become diluted over the year. I'm not sure if it's not that heavy anymore, but it really depends on the Adwen outcomes. But we have 8 million on the one hand. But then on the other hand, let's say that the underlying tax rate of the onshore business, of the rest of the business, well, this underlying tax rate
In the first three quarters of the year, it was approximately something like 28%, but we finished the year with this tax rate standing at 27.3%. So in other words, it's a figure that is approximately the same thing. And then during the year, we have estimated that we would end up at 28%, but at the end of the year, or let's say that the estimate or the calculation of taxes has given us a tax rate of 27.3%. So there's no activation of any fiscal credits, and there's nothing special happening, but this is a rate that is fully in line with the guidance that we've given for long-term rates, where we say that the tax rate is approximately 25%, with ±3%, as a function of the results obtained in the different geographies, and also as a function of the different effects that have to do with any deferred taxes that have to do with any other fields. But in any case, this is very in line with the rest of the quarters.
Thank you very much, Nacho. There's another question here for Ignacio Martín from César González from JB. Because as we've already presented the targets we had established for 2017, and as they're going to be achieved in 2016, do you think Gamesa is going to submit a new plan with its objectives revised as from 2017?
Well, the truth is that the strategy that we have and that we launched last year for 2015-17 is a very clear-cut strategy that I try to summarize and present in my conclusions. And we don't really think that we'd have to change the strategy. And the truth is that it's working very well. And the strategic plan for 2015 and 2017, I also spoke about certain areas for growth in the future, that I said that life will continue beyond 2017. And perhaps we could grow in the onshore business, in the offshore business. We spoke about solar power. We spoke about the off-grid sector. And we spoke about different possible levers for growth. So these new possible areas of growth, this is work that is still in progress. We're still working on this very hard, and we haven't drawn any conclusions right now that will allow us to quantify things. But what I would say, however, is that we are working according to the qualitative strategic framework that we launched some time ago. And to the extent that we see that we can be more specific about possible future growth, well, yes, we will then deliver any presentations that have to be made, public presentations to the market. Thank you, Ignacio. Here's another question now, and it's for Xavier Echevarría. And this question has to do with how EBIT guidance, what the EBIT guidance trends are like. And could you please explain the different components of this guidance? So what has taken us from the current margin to what has been established for 2017 in terms of savings and costs and as regards the mix and the impact of the exchange rate? And there's a very similar question too from José Manuel Arroyas from Exane. Well, this is no big mystery, in fact, because we, from the point of view of the project mixes, we have practically no differential here relative to the margins of the year 2015, because the project mix and the regional mix are practically, well, very similar, because we are growing in a very similar manner in all regions in 2016 compared to 2015. But from the point of view of the exchange rate or currency issue, well, let's say that the impact is practically non-existent, because I seem to recall that it's 0.01%, just to give you a figure, really. But what I can say is that it's practically nothing. But the EBIT improvement is based, as we saw before, it's based on having a strict control of the structure, because this year we're going to be ending up with ratios relative to revenues better than those obtained in 2015, which was 7.8%, or what is exactly the same thing. We know how to grow in revenues without having to grow in the same percentage as regards our structural costs, because all of our business processes and how we manage this company, all of this
provides us with indices in terms of revenues that are much greater relative to the increase we need in terms of structures and volumes. It was 3,180 megawatts, and now it's 3,800 megawatts. And this conversion, this growth, this conversion into profitability, and with all of the improvements in variable costs that are fundamentally based on improving the costs of commodities or materials, rather, and we're working on this with our suppliers and with much better operations for all of the costs we have at our factories. But in any case, in short, the impact of the product mix is practically non-existent. However, in the case of currency, EBIT improvement has to do with limiting structural costs and improving our variable costs in a continuous manner. Thank you very much, Xavier. Let's move on to several questions that have to do with capacity. And the first question comes from José Manuel Arroyas, and this is your point of view on increasing capacities as regards the competition in India and Acciona Wind Power, and in Brazil in the case of Vestas. And the question is, up to what extent does this represent a greater challenge as regards selling wind turbine generators in these countries in a profitable manner? From the Gamesa point of view, the installation of production capacity of our competition in those countries where we already have a leadership position is something that concerns us in a relative manner, because what we believe is that the installation of manufacturing capacity doesn't necessarily mean that this is going to produce significant gains in terms of market share immediately. But in the specific case of India, our strengths are not fundamentally based on what has to do with production capacity, which other people are trying to develop right now. But we at Gamesa, we have nearly 4 gigawatts of promotion and development in the execution stage, and we also have chain of suppliers that accounts for nearly 75% of the location in these countries, which you cannot only do by installing or opening factories and by providing manufacturing capacity. But we also have excellent management of operations and maintenance. So that means that the strengths of Gamesa in these markets are based on having the entire value chain there, on it being present. So that means that our position of leadership, or at least the impression that we are under at this point in time, is that we will maintain these positions of leadership, although many others are trying to get into the market in which we are leaders.
Thank you very much, Xavier. Another question about capacity and competence and competition. The question is, do you believe that investment in capacity could put at risk the discipline that we've had so far in the industry? And this comes from Desiree General. We are always looking for profitable growth. And there are some competitors, and I think that everybody should be doing the same as us, but that's not always the case. But sometimes we have some capex which are very aggressive in price. As Xavier explained, it's not simple to move into new countries. And often in emerging countries, it's very difficult to have a good supply chain, a supply chain that's going to enable us to launch our products in good conditions. And they're difficult countries anyway, they're complicated countries. There are certain risks that we really need to bear in mind. So we're not going to sacrifice profitability for volume. Some other people might want to do that. Well, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. But with regard to the ASP, we're believing that there's actually quite a good stability with regard to prices. And in fact, the new products that we're launching into the market are products which reduce the cost of energy, and the products that are going to enable us to compete in an environment that, in fact, can be more aggressive. I'm not saying it's going to be more aggressive. I'm saying that it might be more aggressive. We will compete always taking into account profitability. We're never going to be stupid. We won't lose our heads. There's a market, for example, the Brazilian market, and I'm surprised that no one's asked a question about it. It's in the pipeline, but it's a very difficult market, very complicated market, and there are some volumes there that could be less, or they could be lower than we thought before, we thought previously. We could have got greater volume, and I think we've said this before. We haven't done it. We chose not to. We chose not to because we monetized very well the risks that there may be from the point of view of customers, payment, funding, all very important issues, and we're never going to do that. If there are competitors that want to do that or that could do that, they might not do it, that's okay, but we're not going to enter that game. So we are not going to enter into a war that's going to put our profitability at risk, and we think that other companies probably won't do it either.
Thank you very much, Ignacio. One last question about capacity, which comes from Sean from HSBC. This is about what the current production capacity of Gamesa is, and are we going to have problems in the future, especially in 2017, if we grow any more?
Well, our current capacity for the year 2016 is about 4 gigawatts. So basically, we will have enough capacity to be able to supply all our customers in optimum time and conditions, including the 3,800 megawatts that are in our business plan. We are going to be prudent in our actions. We're going to have moderate CapExes. We're prepared. The groundwork has been laid in order to grow over and above the 4 gigawatts if that is necessary, which we hope it will be. But at this moment in time, we're managing with a lot of prudence, with a lot of caution, and we're using this modular format with regard to investments.
Thank you, Javier. This is another question now from Ignacio Artazcoz from Pinaki from the Bank of America and Ola Catre from Société Générale. And this is about the impact that Adwen will have on our accounts in 2016.
Well, I think we need to distinguish a couple of things here. There are two main effects or two characteristics. From the first point of view, from the point of view of results, the results that we're going to be consolidating with regard to Adwen in 2016, they're going to be similar to what we've seen in 2015. Talking here about the equity accounted investments, and it's going to be similar. The figures are going to be similar. With regard to cash flow, which is another one of the doubts and questions that tend to crop up with regard to the impact of Adwen, from the point of view of cash flow, Adwen ended the year with a net cash flow on the balance sheet that was positive. And as we've explained on repeated occasions since we established the joint venture, the company, we believe this company is going to be self-financing. It won't require direct financing from its partners. And in fact, it will be able to find financing on the market. Obviously, it might need the guarantee provided by partners, but it won't need financing from the partners. This is what's happening. And over the next 2 years, we estimate that the financing or the support that we will be providing through guarantees to Adwen might be about €100-125 million for guarantees in order to enable Adwen to find its own financing. And so this is what we estimate with regard to Adwen.
Thank you very much, Nacho. This is a question for Ignacio Martín from Santiago Marin from CaixaBank. Is an EBIT margin over 9%, is it sustainable if we get below 3.8%? And I'm sorry, the mic got turned off.
Yes, I was expecting that question because it always comes up, and the response is the same as always as well. In this particular industry, we have margins of between 8% and 9%. This is what we've been saying time and time again. And this variability mainly depends on the volume of the project mix. So we can expect in certain moments margins of above 9%. Yes, the answer is yes, we can expect them, and we do expect them. And it will depend on the volume and the products and other
factors as well. But looking towards the future, this margin of between 8 and 9 is something that we believe is going to be reasonable. In 2060, we have given the guidances, and we have done that, looking at the mix of products that we have. We're going to expecting a margin which is equal to or over 9%. And as I said before, and I'll say again, this is really the playing field in which we are on at the moment. In exceptional cases, then it's true that we could go outside these margins, both directions. We can go both down and up. So even if there is a collapse in the market, we believe that we would have a performance level which would be positive and reasonable. And in the opposite end of the continuum, it would be exactly the same, but obviously in an inverse way. Thank you very much, Ignacio. I'm going to repeat the question because the microphone was off, so you've heard the answer but not the question. The question was, with an activity of belief 3,800 megawatts, can we maintain this margin of 8 or 9%? So this is another question for Ignacio Artazcoz from JB, Ignacio González. So the increase in provisions that have been recorded in the fourth quarter and have a ratio over revenues of about 4.5%, what can you say about that? Well, our provisions over the course of the financial year in the different quarters, it basically depends on the energization and the setting up of the wind turbines. So during quarter four of last year, we had an installation activity which was higher than we had had in the other three quarters. And this means that in the accounting sheets in the fourth quarter, we can see that there's a higher percentage of provision. Obviously, over the course of the whole year, the provision has over revenues, well, the ratio has been the traditional one. It's about 3.5%, and we are still with that ratio. But as I said, there's a difference between quarters, but that has to do with, in fact, the amount of activity in each quarter. Thank you very much, Nacho. This is, again, another question from Sean from HSBC. When you present the business plan 2015-2017, we had thought there was going to be a stable market share on the main markets. What do we think is going to happen now for the years 2016-2017? Do you think we will be gaining market share in those markets? Well, for the year 2017 and the level of sales or revenues that we are expecting, we've presented, which is going to be about 3,800 megawatts, coupled with the reduction of 63 gigas, so 140 gigas, or 14 this year, sorry. We hope there will be a slight improvement in our market share as a result of that. So maintaining our position of leadership where we are and increasing our market share in those countries in which we are not a market leader. In the year 2017, I think it's still premature. It's too early to say at this moment in time what our expectation is with regard to improving our market share. We could say that, yes, we do aspire to improving our market share in 2017, assuming that in 2016 we are going to do better than in 2015. But obviously, with the scarce degree of visibility that we have at the moment with regard to the worldwide installation of megawatts, it's difficult to know what type of market share Gamesa will have in 2017. Thank you very much, Xavier. The next question from Pinaki from the Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Investments in Mexico, we have greater visibility with regard to the upturn or the increase in the market share in Mexico, and therefore we are investing in the increase capacity. Do we have any information about the auctions in Mexico? Right, I'm going to start at the end, which is what I like to do. The situation of the auctions is, I think, fairly well known. The first auction will be happening at the end of March, with mechanisms and conditions which are quite clear, and I think they've actually been clarified further over the last few months. I think there's a general consensus with regard to the market that this auction will be an auction for clean energies. There'll be about 1,500 megawatts, but the provision that we have at the moment is about 1,000 megawatts will be in wind and 500 megawatts will be for solar energy. With regard to the market growth, we do hope that it will grow through these auctions. We have at the moment 750 megawatts, which is to 2015. In fact, that we think that might double. These installations, they might double by, I think, 2018, 2019. So we'll not just have the auctions, but we will also have the executions of the projects which were opened a couple of years ago in Oaxaca and other regions as well. From the point of view of Gamesa, Gamesa has 51% market share of the installed megawatts. In the year 2015, 2016, we believe that Gamesa will still be the company with the highest number of megawatts installed and to be installed. The expectations is that we will increase our capacity, yes, and we believe that is true. We believe that we will maintain our leadership position in that country. And in fact, just a little while ago, the investment was published. And this is our subsidiary company that we have in the Daniel Alonso Group, the company called Winter. We are carrying out investments, important investments, for the manufacturing of towers and installations. And we hope these installations will be up and running by September or October of this year, and that they will give us a capacity of about 315 megawatts in 2017. And in fact, within, as part of our Build to Print strategy, we have closed important projects with the manufacturer of blades, TPI, for the manufacture of new molds, for manufacturing new installations in the north of the country. Therefore, Gamesa is growing in capacity, our own capacity, through its subsidiaries and our strategic partners. And today we can say that from the point of view of integration, from the point of view of localization, we have towers between 50 and 51% of the added value of the wind turbine. We can say that Gamesa is a company with the greatest capacity, with the greatest potential for manufacturing in the country.
Yes, Javier.
Thank you very much, Xavier. We're going to have another two questions, and the first comes from Alocatres, Societe Generale, asking for more information on guidance for sales in 2016. Apart from the guidance, the activity guidance that has been given, could you please give some indications on this, or could you give us some estimates on the leverage we have? Well, it's true, we have not given the specific guidance of revenues for 2016, and I think that it's very easy to work out the figures in order to obtain some references. We said that above 400 million euros of EBIT and above 9% of the EBIT margin relative to revenues or over revenues, that could give us a minimum figure that is also in excess of the 4 million euros by applying mathematics. But in any case, you know that in operations and maintenance and what we said in the business plan, we expect this to grow in one digit only, by one digit. And we've given guidance in excess of 3,800 megawatts. But I think that it's easy to construct without having to give any orientations in the guidance. Thank you very much, Nacho. The last question has to do with China and what kind of developments do we foresee in the case of China. 2015 was a very strong year, but What do you think is going to happen in 2016 when a pretty significant slump is expected? So is there going to be lots of competition from the local operators in China? As we saw before, China in 2015 achieved an installation peak of nearly 30 gigawatts. And this is outstanding, and it will be modulated, or these installations will be normalized in future years. But in any case, what the market information tells us is that installations in China in 2016 and 17 will be closer to 20 gigawatts than to other figures. The impact that this drop could have for Gamesa is limited. I think it's for the second or third year running. Gamesa is the non-Chinese manufacturer that has installed the highest number of megawatts in the year 2015. And in fact, as far as I can recall, we had a figure of 450 megawatts in our installations when the second non-Chinese manufacturer had a figure of about 250 megawatts. So in other words, we've installed about 30% more in terms of megawatts compared to the second non-Chinese manufacturer. And this is due fundamentally to the degree of specialization that Gamesa has as regards attracting projects and contracts in China, because we are capable of differentiating ourselves from the Chinese competition in those issues that have to do with competitiveness, in those aspects that have to do with technology too, and in particular in relation to how difficult some of the projects are when they have to be carried out, because we are carrying out some extremely difficult projects because of the wind conditions and also because of the altitude of the wind farms. And the conditions are extreme, too, in terms of the geography of the landscape itself. But in any case, we do expect to maintain our position of leadership, and we do not expect any big impact, or it will be practically non-existent in terms of our revenues because of a possible slump in China, because of the technology, the cost, and because of our excellent executions under extreme conditions mean that we can access more projects in the future. Thank you very much, Javier. Well, we have a few more questions. These are the first that we received, and perhaps we didn't notice that they were here. But they're asking us about the strategy of the operations and maintenance service strategy. What kind of growth do we expect, and what kind of margins, too? So that's the first question, and it comes from Dan Tokon from Handelsbank. Our operations and maintenance strategy, well, I think that it has been explained on several occasions, and it has not changed in recent years, because we're now in a phase of specialization, and we're making very significant technological progress within our O&M strategy. But apart from traditional O&M, we are also adding added-value products to our strategy, which in 2015 produced their first results, and then in 2016 and 2017, we are fully convinced that they are going to have a very significant degree of penetration in the market. And then growth in revenues, well, this is going to be linked to a single digit, or perhaps it would be a low two-digit figure. But we're not focused on growth in revenues, but rather what we want to do is achieve greater profitability. So that means that our clear strategy has to do with growing wherever the business and profitability are ensured through our specialization in technology for traditional maintenance, and wherever we can introduce added value products too. Thank you, Xavier. There's a second question here from Dan Togo that has to do with the price of energy. And what do you think the trends are going to be like, or how much more could the cost of energy drop? And what kind of leverage is producing this reduction in price? And how could this affect the price per megawatt for of our orders in the future? So how much lower could the price of the machine be, or the machines be in the future?
Well, the trends we've seen in terms of energy costs, it's something, it's an issue that is linked to two subjects, and that is, but at what extent will the new platforms be capable in terms of energy generation, and up to what extent is the sector capable of reducing its costs? But let's say that what we could say is that for each leap in the platform between 2.5 and 3, together with rotors, which could be between 10 and 12 meters, the cost of energy for the customer is reduced by 2 or 3%, and this would obviously have to be linked to an improvement in costs that each platform launch entails. But in any case, the increase in generation percentage-wise does not mean that there's going to be a similar increase in terms of cost. But we believe that the reduction of the cost of energy for the customer does not mean that there's going to be a price reduction in it, because we believe that the price reduction has more to do with competition, and it also has to do with the competitiveness that exists amongst the market competitors, and it doesn't really have to do with improvements in energy costs. These improvements are favorable with the sector, because what we do is we compare ourselves with other kinds of power and we become more competitive. So that means that the volume and the appetite of investors for wind power will become greater and greater, but this does not necessarily have direct impact on the prices. Thank you very much, Xavier. And the last question from Dandoro refers to the impact that the decreasing extension of PTCs is having. So what projects is this going to be used for? Is it going to be used for the less viable or less feasible projects when there's 100% of PTC? And in this scenario, what kind of products do you think we'll be able to offer? Well, I think that the impact associated with PTCs, I think that what it's going to mean, well, it's pretty obvious, and that is that tax exemptions, tax equity to what has to do with investments at wind farms is going to have a deterioration of about $5 per each megawatt equivalent. But what this means to a certain extent, it represents a challenge for the market and for all of us in order to be able to improve the costs of future wind turbines to the same extent that tax equity reduces tax exemptions whenever we have a 20% reduction in each step that the PTC carries out on an annual basis. But we've already done this at Gamesa, because what we're doing, we're launching and we're offering a very competitive machine of 2.6 megawatts with rotors of 114 and 126, which mean that the possible impact of a reduction in tax equity for investors in wind farms, together with the possible impact in terms of the wind turbine price, will be mitigated or, if not completely, cancelled out by an improvement in costs and by an improvement of the competitiveness of our future turbines in the North American market. Thank you very much. And now I would like to give the floor so that he can close this presentation of results. Thank you very much. Many thanks for attending this presentation. And I would like to finish with a few words that are fundamentally geared towards the main asset that this company has, in other words, its workers, its staff. Because what we are doing, it would be impossible to achieve all of this without the involvement of each and every one of the members of the workforce that nowadays form part of the Gamesa universe. And in particular, I would also like to refer to all of the people that are sitting here in this meeting. And also, I would like to refer to the members of the board of directors of this company, both Xavier and Nacho, and Andoni Cortajareno, and the Director General for Business Development, David, because all of them, because this is, after all, it is a team, and we can say that the results that we presented here tonight are a reality, and that the company's expectations are positive expectations with guidance for 2016 that improves
what we'd already mentioned until now, and this allows us to feel very confident with regard to the future. So once again, many, many thanks to all of the people that have attended this conference, and many thanks to, and my full appreciation to each and every one of the people that work for GAMESA. Thank you. Goodbye.